KORC is looking for volunteer local reporters to tell the stories that aren't getting told. So if you have something to share, an expert opinion, or even just anything cool you think people should know about, write us at info@korcfm.com and let's talk. And join us on Sundays to hear local news, interviews, and stories that aren't getting told anywhere else.
The views expressed in the following program are those of the writers and producers and do not necessarily reflect the views of KORC, its underwriters, or community airwaves.
When corporations fail, you pay for it. But when they succeed, it's theirs. They socialize their losses and privatize their gains. Why do we allow that?
Consider this. Wealthy people do not stash their billions in safe deposit boxes loaded with $100 bills. They don't do that. And they don't spend it all at the mall. They don't spend like crazy. No, wealthy people invest. It is investment that creates jobs and economic growth.
See, this is the lie they tell you, that all this money flowing towards corporate moneyed interests is actually for your benefit. The government intervention for corporations is our free market. But government intervention for workers is socialism. And that's the reason for the socialism scaremongering. It's a false choice. To make you believe that this country has but two options, a socialist, authoritarian, hamburgerless Venezuelan nightmare, or accept the status quo, where large corporations benefit from government help, then use some of those profits to lobby the same government for more government help. They want you to believe that in a free market, while your wages stay low, someday the largesse will eventually trickle down. And in the meantime, enjoy watching your tax dollars help billionaires launch themselves into f***ing space.
Thanks for joining us on KORC News, Music, and Civics, heard every Sunday from 1 to 2 here on KORC 105.9 LPFM, Corvallis, Oregon. We're streaming worldwide at korcfm.com. The program repeats on Mondays from 5 to 6 p.m. If you would like to be involved with what we're doing, as Trevor mentioned at the top of the hour, Trevor Sayer, we are looking for reporters, interviewers, and other folks who want to contribute to this local news effort here on the radio. You can send us an email at info@korcfm.com. Thanks to John Stewart for those reminding words at the beginning of this program. Trickle-down economics, civics lesson, spoiler alert, trickle-down economics is a lie. Let's continue on with the program, though. We've got some local meetings to talk about. Also, a little bit later this hour, JC is going to read an article from a Daily Coast contributor who is covering the retirement of Mitch McConnell from U.S. Congress. We also have a story from the Benton County Courthouse. I was able to go to the Bell Tower earlier this week. I just developed a little bit of a curiosity after hearing that carillon organ music coming from the Bell Tower, and I had a chance to speak with somebody who is very much in the know, who maintains the clock tower and even changes the flagpole atop the Benton County Courthouse. That's coming your way a little bit later this hour on KORC News, Music, and Civics. We also have a bit of history of hip-hop, thanks to Phil For Real, our hip-hop DJ. Stay with us this hour on KORC News, Music, and Civics.
You're listening to KORC News, Music, and Civics. I'm Trevor Sayer with your Corvallis City meetings for the week of March 4th, 2024. On Monday, March 4th, the Corvallis City Council will be holding an executive session at 4:45 p.m. to discuss the security of public body facilities and meeting spaces, as well as a real property transaction. The meeting will be held at the downtown fire station in the Council Chambers, 400 Northwest Harrison Boulevard. Also on Monday, March 4th, but at 6 p.m., the Corvallis City Council will be holding a meeting. The meeting will be held in person at the downtown fire station in the Council Chambers, 400 Northwest Harrison Boulevard. See CorvallisOregon.gov for agenda details and information on how to attend the meeting online. On Wednesday, March 6th at 6:30 p.m., the Planning Commission will be holding a meeting that will be online only. See CorvallisOregon.gov for details on how to join. On Thursday, March 7th at 4 p.m., the Corvallis City Council will be holding a work session which will be held virtually and in person at the Madison Avenue Meeting Room, 500 Southwest Madison Avenue. See CorvallisOregon.gov for details on how to join the virtual meeting. For KORC News, Music, and Civics, I'm Trevor Sayre.
You're listening to KORC. I'm Nick Martin. Corvallis will soon see its first psilocybin service center. Back in 2020, Oregon voters passed Measure 109, or the Psilocybin Mushroom Services Program Initiative, which created a program for administering psilocybin products, such as psilocybin-producing mushrooms and fungi, to people 21 years or older. And since then, several psilocybin treatment centers have popped up around the state, including one next door in Albany. And now, there will be one here in our town. Unstuck LLC, as the center will be known, was founded by Peter Bartosz, Heather Thomas, and Jessica Reich. Both Thomas and Reich have a background in healthcare, and this experience and their dissatisfaction with it is partly what drew them towards psychedelic treatment. According to an interview they did with the Gazette Times, clients meet with a facilitator for a pre-treatment assessment to establish therapeutic goals. On the day of the session, they meet in one of the treatment rooms where a facilitator administers the psilocybin and who will also be present for the trip. Then the client puts on an eye mask and headphones and lays back as the journey begins. After the peak of the mushroom's effects, the tripper then talks with the facilitator about their experience. According to Oregon Health Authority regulations, a person coming off of psilocybin must stay in the facility for a set period of time depending on the dosage. 3 days after leaving the center, the client then receives a post-session call to check in with how they're faring. The cost for a psilocybin session at Unstuck will be around $1,800 to $2,200, revealing a barrier to entry to many who wish to seek the service. The high costs, according to co-founder Peter Bartosz, is due to the high startup costs, which include the approximately $6,500 price tag for someone to get licensed to do the service. There is a 15% discount for first responders, healthcare workers, firefighters, veterans, and police officers. Unstuck LLC is located at 2211 Northwest Professional Drive near Winco and will open sometime in mid-March pending final AOKs from the Oregon Health Authority. Special thanks to the Gazette Times article titled "Corvallis Gets Its First Psilocybin Service Center" by Kosiso Ugwoid. This is Nick Martin with KORC.
You're listening to KORC News, Music, and Civics. Hi, everyone. This is JC, and I would like to read an article by Joan McCarter, who is a Daily Cause staff writer. Mitch McConnell announced this week that he will be stepping down as Republican leader of the Senate in November. And for the sake of the democracy he spent decades trying to destroy, that moment can't come soon enough. Here are just a few of his career lowlights. Number one, he stole a Supreme Court seat from President Barack Obama. When Justice Antonin Scalia died in February 2016, McConnell insisted that the seat would remain empty because it was an election year, and according to a rule he created, the seat, therefore, could not be filled. Number two, he stole a Supreme Court seat from future President Joe Biden. And he did this after changing his, quote, "no new Supreme Court justice in the last year of a president's term," unquote, rule, to install the ultra-conservative Amy Coney Barrett on the court 8 days before the 2020 election. Number three, he packed the federal judiciary for Trump with white men, many of them unqualified. While the Supreme Court seats may be the most visible part of McConnell's stacking of the judiciary, his goal went further. As Frontline noted, that meant he wanted his legacy to be one of, quote, "filling the federal judiciary with conservative judges," unquote. Number four, he vowed to obstruct Obama. Quote, The single most important thing we want to achieve is for President Obama to be a one-term president, unquote, he told the National Journal in 2010. Number five, he vowed to obstruct Biden. Quote, 100% of our focus is on stopping this new administration, unquote, he said in 2021. Number six, he made the debt ceiling a permanent hostage starting in 2011. McConnell may not have invented the government shutdown, but he made sure that shutdown threats were a regular part of American politics while shutting down efforts to fix the problem. Quote, I think that some of our members may have thought the default issue was a hostage. You might take a chance at shooting, McConnell said before the vote in 2011. He said, quote, most of us didn't think that. What we did learn is this. It's a hostage that's worth ransoming, unquote. Number seven, he turned the filibuster into a weapon. McConnell used the filibuster more than ever in history during the Obama administration to deny Obama any legislative victories, just as he'd threatened to do. And he kept using it long after Obama left office, including to block a 9/11-style January 6th committee. Number eight, he voted to acquit Trump after the January 6th insurrection. And just like when he blocked the nomination of Garland to the Supreme Court, he blamed it on the timing. As the Washington Post described it, quote, we witnessed an historic confession of hypocrisy and deceit on Saturday when Senate Minority Leader Mitch McConnell went to the floor after voting to acquit Donald Trump in the former president's Senate impeachment trial, unquote. That came after McConnell had given a speech calling Trump's actions, quote, a disgraceful dereliction of duty, unquote, and saying that Trump was, quote, practically and morally responsible for provoking the events of the day, unquote. But McConnell had an excuse, timing. He claimed it was too late to convict Trump. For McConnell, it's always too late to do something, unless it isn't. Number nine, he built a career and a big campaign nest egg fighting gun safety regulations. That includes pulling down $1.3 million in donations from the NRA while blocking efforts to address mass shootings. No single individual may be completely responsible for America's failure to address gun violence, including school shootings, but McConnell comes close. Number 10, he destroyed campaign finance reform and filibustered any effort to get money out of politics. He may have called money in politics, quote, a cancer, unquote, at the start of his career, but once he was in the Senate, he devoted himself to protecting that cancer and spreading it. Number 11, he blocked votes to save the Voting Rights Act. That included refusing to hold hearings on an amendment named in honor of the great congressman and civil rights icon John Lewis. McConnell claimed he was a supporter of the VRA, Voting Rights Act, at the beginning of his career. But as Senate leader, he weakened the act at every turn. This, along with his other moves to make it more difficult to vote, earned McConnell the nickname the Gravedigger of American Democracy. Number 12, he tried to kill Obamacare and failed. He said, quote, this is clearly a disappointing moment after the repeal attempt failed 51-49. I regret that our efforts simply were not enough this time. 13, he blew off coal miners with black lung disease from his own state. That included giving a group of miners who drove from Kentucky to meet with him just 2 minutes of his time. But McConnell always found time to help mine owners prop up the dying industry. 14. He's working with the Trump campaign right now to endorse Trump for another term. Need we say more? 15. He named himself the, quote, Grim Reaper, unquote. He vowed to kill, literally kill, progressive legislation to address climate change and expand Medicare. He said, are we going to turn this into a socialist country? Don't assume it cannot happen, unquote, he said in 2019. If I'm still the majority leader of the Senate, think of me as the Grim Reaper. None of that stuff is going to pass. None of it. 16. He took an infamous picture in front of a Confederate flag. He said the photo of him beaming in front of the racist flag was taken when he was a freshman senator at a meeting of the Sons of Confederate Veterans. And no, he isn't sorry. Quote, I don't regret going to speak to a group which at the time was not being considered, you know, a pariah in our society, he said years later. Quote, I, over the years, have probably been to plenty of groups and shaken hands with a whole lot of people who didn't agree with me, unquote. 17. Last but not least, he tried to silence Senator Elizabeth Warren. It backfired. During a floor speech against the confirmation of Jeff Sessions as Trump's attorney general in 2017, the Massachusetts senator read, or tried to read, a damning letter from Coretta Scott King, written in 1986, which blasted Sessions for the, quote, the awesome power of his office to chill the free exercise of the vote by black citizens, unquote, while serving as the United States attorney in Alabama. McConnell didn't like that and insisted Warren had violated a rule against demeaning a fellow senator, and he cut her off. He said, she was warned. She was given an explanation. Nevertheless, she persisted. The joke's on McConnell, though. Because of his tisk-tisking of Warren, it became a meme and a hashtag and a tattoo and a fundraiser and a rallying cry. So long, Mitch. And good riddance. This was JC reading an article by Joan McCarter, Daily Cause staff writer.
The Corvallis Sustainability Coalition presents its Sustainability Fair and Town Hall this Thursday, February 7th at 5 p.m. The fair and town hall are at the CH2M Hill Alumni Center on the campus of OSU. The fair is free and gives attendees an opportunity to talk with 60 vendors who represent what the Sustainability Coalition does, a network of partner organizations and individuals whose mission is to promote an ecologically, socially, and economically healthy city and county. Local food, talent, and initiatives are highlighted at the free Sustainability Fair on Thursday, March 7th. You can enjoy locally sourced organic food provided by New Morning Bakery, see, hear, and touch products for energy savings in heating and cooling, food production, composting, and more. Hear what the coalition's action teams are taking on, including transportation, water conservation, land use, housing, education, and more. The fair is free from 5 to 7 p.m. at the CH2M Hill Alumni Center on the campus of OSU, directly across from Reser Stadium. For KORC News, I'm Lava Lamp Larry.
You're listening to KORC News, Music, and Civics, a program heard every Sunday from 1 to 2 p.m. and every Monday evening from 5 to 6 p.m. Families of children who will be 5 years old as of September 15, 2024, are eligible and encouraged to enroll their child in kindergarten at their neighborhood school. Enrollment can be completed at the Corvallis School District website. To complete the enrollment process, families will need to provide the following information: proof of address, proof of age, immunization record, educational support documentation. The district has established specific school boundary areas. If you are uncertain about which elementary school is your neighborhood school, you can check any address to see what boundary area it is located in using the school district's district address locator. More information about this is available by calling 541-757-5811. Families enrolling a kindergartner may request a transfer to a school outside their boundary area only after enrolling at their boundary area school. Transfer requests will be accepted online for Corvallis residents from March 18th through April 1st and non-residents from April 15th through the 29th of this year. Transfers will be subject to grade level enrollment and space limitations. There's an upcoming event called Kindergarten Information Night, Monday, March 18th. All K through 5 elementary schools will offer a Kindergarten Information Night, Monday, March 18th, starting at 5:30 p.m., going through 6:15. These information nights are for incoming kindergarten families to visit their neighborhood school. During the school information night, school staff will be on hand to discuss what life as a kindergarten student looks like and answer other questions. For more information about the kindergarten enrollment process in the Corvallis School District, you can contact your boundary area school, the Corvallis School District Administration Office at 541-766-4700, or there's more information online at csd509j.net/kindergarten, or you can do a Google search for the Corvallis School District and kindergarten. You're listening to KORC, Community Radio for Corvallis. We're streaming online at korcfm.com, where you can also make a secure online donation. And thank you.
Hey, everybody. It's time for Beaver Tales. It's all about Oregon State sports. I'm your sports guy today, Lava Lamp Larry for KORC. Let's talk basketball. The OSU Lady Beavers closed out their regular season Saturday afternoon with a win over the Cal Bears. Tamea Gardner scored 16 of her 19 points in a dominant second half. Leading scorer Reagan Beers returned to action, and the number 11 Beavers won going away 79-58. What was a one-point halftime lead became 55-41 after three quarters. The Beavs shot 6 of 10 from the three-point line in the second half to pull ahead. Beers missed the previous four games for OSU, who lost three of those games. But on Saturday, she had 14 points in a balanced offensive show in front of 6,300 fans cheering on their team at Gill. The Beavs are now 23-6 overall and await the season-end Pac-12 tournament, the final one, I guess, to see where they'll land in the big March Madness dance. Over on the men's side, the Beavers dropped their second game in 2 weeks to the Ducks, falling 78-71 in Eugene last week. Next week, you've got two chances to watch the OSU men close out their regular season at home at Gill Coliseum, Thursday versus Utah, and Saturday afternoon, March 9th at 2 p.m. The Lady Beavers softball squad is 8-10 on the year, but riding a two-game winning streak going into games this weekend. They've just topped Michigan and Long Beach State and play San Jose State, Weber State, and Cal Fullerton in a tournament this weekend. If you're hankering for some softball, the Beavers are at home next weekend with three games against Arizona. The top 10 men's baseball team is now 9-1, trying to play through the snow flurries at home this weekend against North Dakota State, who probably are right at home in the snow. Home baseball continues next week with four games against Cal State Northridge, Thursday, March 7th through Sunday the 10th. Home baseball in Corvallis in March. That gets you caught up with Beaver Tales, the OSU Sports Report on KORC. I'm Lava Lamp Larry.
You're listening to KORC News, Music, and Civics. Though it is the start of March, We are going to look back and honor Black History Month. Our own Phil For Real produced a deep dive into the history of hip-hop, and here's an excerpt of that production.
Hi, my name is Phil For Real.
That's my DJ.
Beat For Real.
Be true player for real.
Feel for real.
And give it what you got and just...
Hey, how's it going out there, everybody? Listen to KORC 105.9, Phil For Real. I'm going to do a little special, little segment on the history of hip-hop while it's still Black History Month. And being that hip-hop is a Black American culture, Black American music, we're going to go into some of the origins and roots of this music genre that we all enjoy today. Now, we all know hip-hop is open to all people, all colors, all races, whatever, but we got to go back to where it all started. So we got to give credit where credit is due. So a lot of people say that last year, 2023, was the 50th anniversary of hip-hop, meaning that it started in 1973, which could be debated and we'll bring up later, but we're going to go back a little further to where it wasn't quite hip-hop yet, but to when they were rapping. So something from Pig Meat Markham from North Carolina, 1968, here comes the judge.
Yeah, he, this court is now in session. His Honor, Judge Pigmeat Markham Poseidon. Yeah, he, the court of swing is just about ready to do that thing. I don't want no tears, I don't want no lies. Above all, I don't want no alibis. This judge is hip, and that ain't all. He'll give you time if you're big or small. Fall in line, or this court is neat. Peace, brother.
Whoa, here come the judge. Here come the judge. Everybody know that he is the judge.
Everybody, near and far, I'm going to Paris to stop this war. All those cats got to listen to me, because I am the judge and you can plainly see. I want a big round table when I get there. I won't sit down to wonder square. I'm gonna lay down the law, they better not budge. I bust some head because I am the judge.
He is the judge, he is the judge. Everybody knows that he is the judge.
Who's there?
Eyes.
Eyes who?
Eyes your next door neighbor. Out of this courtroom.
Judge, your honorship high, sir. Did I hear you say order in the court?
Yes, I said order.
Well, I'll take two cans of beer, please.
I had a chat with Ho Chi Minh. Sip rice wine and chase him a gin. Won't take long, unless I miss my guess. I have you out of this doggone mess.
Judge, you're on a pig meat, sir. Don't you remember me?
No, who are you, boy?
Well, I'm the fella that introduced you to your wife.
To my wife?
Yeah.
Life, you son of a gun, you. Come November election time. You vote your way and I vote mine. Case is a tie and the money gets spent. Vote for pig meat, not for president. I am the judge. I am the judge. Everybody knows that. Now, everybody know I am the judge.
So that's something from Pig Meat Markham. Here comes the judge from 1968. An artist from North Carolina. A lot of people say that's the first example of a rap song. But we're going to go back a little further to the 1940s. Jubilaries.
Well, it's over.
Right on the wind, but it's a whole, oh, Noah. Oh, Noah. Oh, 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 Noah.
Oh, God's going to ride on the wind.
Brother Noah.
My God's talking, said he would ride on the wind and tide. Hey, children, stop, still, and listen to me. God walked down to the brandy sea. He declared that he must send for man, and then he decided to destroy the land. He spoke to Noah, Noah, stop. He said, Noah, I want you to build me an ark. I want you to build it 3 cubits long. I want you to build it big and strong. I want it 30 high and 50 wide, so it will stand the wind and tide. It's oh, oh, Noah, oh, oh, Noah. Oh, Noah, God's gonna ride on the wailing tide. Well, it's a whole Noah, oh, oh, Noah, oh, 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 Noah, God's gonna ride on the wailing tide. God's gonna ride on the wailing tide. Brother Noah, my God's talking, said he would ride on the wind and tide. Well, after the foundation was laid, then Noah began to hew and build. The ringing of the hammer cried judgment, the hewing of the saw cried sin and repent. 100 years he hammered and sawed, building the ark by the grace of God. When the ark was done, God's voice was heard. He said, now Noah, let me tell you what to do. Calling the animals 2 by 2, so he called them in an ark, 2 by 2. He called the birds, the ox with the kangaroo. Then he called and jumped the ham and sham. Then God began to flood the land. He raised his hands to heaven on high, shook the stars and moon from the sky, shook the mountain, he troubled the sea. Hits the wind to his chariot wheel. He stepped on land, stood on the shore, and declared that time there wouldn't be no more.
Well, it's over, over, oh, oh, Noah.
So that's something from the Jubilaries from 1946, one of the earliest examples of rapping. Now, it wasn't quite hip-hop yet, but it's still an example of the early influences of hip-hop music coming from the South United States. It's where a lot of Black American roots are, even for the families up in New York. In case you're just tuning in, we're doing a little early history of hip-hop, some early influences. So let's get into another artist that was a big influence in early hip-hop, James Brown. This one's called Brother Rap.
Thank you.
James Brown, Brother Rap, one of the big influences on hip-hop music.
What do you think of music around today, especially things like hip-hop and Run-DMC and the Beastie Boys?
Well, those are poor copies, copies of what they thought I was doing in the 60s, like Let the Brother Rap. And I started the rap music, and what they're doing is things I did years ago. But see, rap music is kind of a variation, I mean, kind of a... It's like the end of a James Brown song, what we would do at the very end.
So he's saying what they'd do at the very end, mean the breakdown. What hip-hop DJs would do, they would take the break part of the beat, the breakdown, and loop it using two turntables going from side A to side B, rewinding while the one side plays, and flip another side and let that side play. Doing this, they would create an extended beat that people could dance and rap to. Records were a big influence on the music side, but it still wasn't hip-hop. The culture was still forming, and here's where it really becomes hip-hop as we know it today, branching off from R&B and rock and blues and funk and soul. Hip-hop being a youth culture, the term hip-hopity was a term back in the 40s used to describe youth parties, but hip-hop was a culture that came out of New York from the Bronx. And what specifically started it was a group called the Black Spades. This was an American black gang started in the Bronx in the late 60s, around 1968, to fight off racist groups coming in the neighborhood.
It started because we had other gangs around it.
Right.
They was always threatening us.
And also unique to this gang, they were fighting off drug dealers as well as drug users from the neighborhood.
At that time, there was real heavy drugs around here, and we used to beat up drug addicts.
We was fighting people for the drugs. We hated like drug addicts, and we turned out to
be drug addicts.
Right.
And the reason I hung out in Bronx though, because they wasn't doing dope, and I didn't want to do dope.
They would play James Brown's Soul Power, but instead they were known to scream Spade Power.
Soul Power,
Spade Power.
Hip-hop would not be possible without the culture that existed in gang culture, specifically the black space.
Right.
So they laid that groundwork, that energy. You know what I mean? That energy.
The group that one of the main credited founders of hip-hop, DJ Kool Herc, was a part of, as well as DJs before him, like DJ Disco King Mario. These DJs would play at the Black Spades parties and were known to loop the break parts of classic records.
The Spade Dance, we used to do it to James Brown, Soul Power.
Because that whole album, Revolution of the Mind.
Now, what they say officially started hip-hop was a party in 1973 hosted by DJ Kool Herc, where he played breakbeats back-to-back, calling it the merry-go-round.
Bongo rock was still, no vocals in it, and I would go into Baby Huey. You know, the Mexican. And it was like, whoa. I think we got some hit, you know, because people was like, oh, whoa. Everybody was like, yeah, I'm feeling this. Oh, yeah, you know.
Now, this was the first big documented event of hip-hop, but many claim it has been going on longer. Some would say officially since 1971. Now, there's a great YouTube channel, if you look online, called The Culture Since 71. Has plenty of great interviews breaking down the very beginnings of hip-hop, the early origins before 73. So check it out if you want. So I've been talking you through a little hip-hop lesson here on KORC, but let's play some back-to-back break beats, just so you know what it'd sound like during an early hip-hop party. Here's some from Kid Capri, from a mixtape 52 Beats. Now this cassette came out later in 1992, but definitely embodies what you'd hear in an early hip-hop party in the 70s. So let's go. As an example of break beats getting played back to back, that's the type of stuff you'd hear in the early hip hop parties coming up in the early 70s. So we're just taking it back to the history of hip hop, some of the early origins, early influences. So if we put together what we learned in the beginning with the rap and the melodies over these break beats of classic records, we put them together, and this is what really makes rap music, aka hip-hop music, as well as the style, the fashion, and the overall culture, breakdancing, graffiti, everything, combines to make what we know as hip-hop. By the late 70s, they were recording hip-hop records, and I'm sure everyone's familiar with Rapper's Delight, considered to be the first big hip-hop record recorded on vinyl. But I'm sure everyone's heard that song. So here at KORC, we like to play lesser-known songs. So here's something from 1980. Still one of the first hip-hop records recorded. Some from Jimmy Spicer. The Adventures of Super Rhyme.
Rhymes faster than a speeding bullet. Has more rhymes than a train has tracks. Able to leap sucker MCs in a single rhyme. Look at the jam of the mic. It's a bird.
It's a plane.
No, I'm soup.
Super Rhyme.
It's the new thing, makes you wanna swing while us MCs rap. Doing our thing, it's not singing like it used to be. No, it's rapping to the rhythm of the Zorzad beat. It goes one for the money, two for the show. You got my beat, now here I go. You see this DJ, he gets down mixing records while they go around with a hit. The hop, you just don't stop. You rock to the beat till it makes you drop. Yes, I'm one of a kind, I'm Super Rhymes, and I'd like to say hello. And since I'm on the mic and I'm ready to rock, oh, this is how it goes. Yes, I rock so good, I rock so well. I'll ring ding dang, a ding ding a dang, baby, I'll ring your bell. Yes, I'm Super Rhymes, I'm 22. I wanna be 100 before I'm through, because no, I didn't come from the planet Earth. Planet Rhyme on is my place of birth. From the day I came out my mother's womb, I found myself in the operating room. Then the doctor spanked me on my behind. I didn't cry, the kid started to rhyme. My mother said, son, that's the way it should be. Your name is Super Rhymes, you'll be an MC. So then my father put me on a meteorite, sent me to Earth to rock the mic. I got to Earth and started laying it down at the jam on the mic. I could be found while I was at the jam of this one time. I'm rocking to the beat, said I'm feeling fine, just a freaking out on the freaks behind. I looked in the face of Frankenstein. I said, hello, no, she's not mine, because my woman is fine as wine. And she goes by the name of the lowest liner, but she didn't come here with me this time. I'm feeling real sad, but not that bad. I'ma have to run away from this crow dad. I ran to the DJ to rock the mic. He said, a Super Rhymes, take it, I'll do what you like. So I rocked the party viciously. This guy I didn't know walked up to me, but the closer he got, the more I could tell it was the man they call Coward Hossel, the guy you'd see on KBC while Joe Frazier boxed Muhammad Ali. He said, excuse me, sir, are you Super Rhymes? The one with the fine woman, Lois Lime? I said, I am. Will I be on TV? Like the float, like a butterfly stinging Ali. He said, yes, my man, if you show me you can. I was told you had the master plan. So I rocked the mic for Howard Cosell, to show America how I rock so well. And while I rocked the mic, this is what I said about Dracula, the living dead. He didn't like blood, not this vampire. The disco beat was his desire. Transylvania's where he made home, until one day he decided to roam. And then out of the crypt he did crawl. A Count Dracula is what he's called. He said, the sun's gone down and now it's night. I'm going to spread my wings and take a serious flight. I turned into a buck, I flew away. I said that the disco is where I gotta stay, because back home there was nothing like this. In Transylvania, this is what I'd miss. They just bite necks and suck blood all day, when I knew there had to be a better way. I packed my coffin, said vampires, I am leaving. So I turned into a buck and cut out that evening. The first disco I hit was 54. They didn't even want to let me in the door. I said, listen, my man, I'm a real cool guy. I can turn into a bat, I can even fly. He said, Dracula, you can do all of that. Then come on in and get your need of freak attacker. So I went inside and I started to dance and had all the ladies waiting for their chance. They said, isn't he cool with his widow's beak? And the strange way he does the freak. He said, where I come from, it's not called the freak. It's the Transylvania boogie 7 days a week. I didn't get to dance with them all that night, because at the break of dawn, I saw a sunlight. I said, I'm sorry to say, I cannot stay, cause this vampires must be in before it turns day. But don't forget, I'll be back. I like it when I catch a need of freak attack. And since you heard my story, it's time I be leaving. In Transylvania, we say good evening. Mr. Hossel said, damn, that's good. You'll be on TV in every neighborhood. He said, Super Rhymes, you're a real MC. We must put you on KBC. I said, I'll dress to impress, won't claim I'm best. I'll come a little better than all the rest, because I never come with any less than all the rhymes that will pass the test. Because I'm cool as ice, I'm twice as nice. I never had an off day in my life. You see, I'll take all your money, bust out your wife, make you dance to my beat all your life. Cause when I get in my stuff and I start to rhyme, the sucker MCs hide every time. Because my voice is baritone and I really don't need no microphone, but I use one anyway to make sure the ladies hear what I say. And from here to there, they hear my voice. The ladies hear me, I am their choice. Because my hair's more wavy than the ships in the Navy, and they use a boat to stay afloat, to put hickeys all over my throat. Because I'm so cool, 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 cool.
That was some from Jimmy Spicer. Unfortunately, he passed a couple years ago. That one's called Adventures of Super Rhyme from 1980, considered to be the first storytelling record. of hip-hop. So we're going through a little history lesson, showing where hip-hop gets its influences from, and some of the early origins, how it came up from a lot of R&B, soul, funk, and early rock records, like James Brown and other American black artists. The reason this is so important to know, because hip-hop was an underground culture, especially in its early days, and there was not a lot of history being written down. And a lot of those early pioneers have passed, and it's harder and harder to find the true origins of hip-hop. Nowadays, there's a narrative going around that it comes from Jamaican music and sound systems. Main credited founder DJ Kool Herc was born in Jamaica, but moved to the U.S. at age of 8, meaning he had to adapt to black American culture and learn to DJ through other members of the Black Spades. Although Jamaican music has had an influence on hip-hop, that was not the origins of hip-hop music or culture. Hip-hop culture comes from American black music and the youth gang culture of New York. So these black R&B artists from America not only influenced hip-hop, but actually influenced the Jamaican reggae artists, as we can hear from some of them themselves.
We would listen to a Dionne Warwick song and try to sing it exactly as Dionne did it. If you are a group, you try to study the Supremes, Martha Reeves and the Vandellas. If there was a group who comes from abroad to our shores, we would want to go and see them because they have something to teach us.
It all came from the American R&B music, you know, because we're always being influenced by the Impressions, all them soul R&B groups.
We start imitating the rhythm and blues songs like say, Smiley Lewis or Professor Longhair or Louis Jordan, and, you know, those kind of beat. We try to imitate it.
When we was playing the boogie boogie and the shuffle and thing like that, we realized that we were definitely swatting or copying the American stuff. We did some rhythm and blues. Try to copy the rhythm and blues with that driving beat.
It was all about rhythm and blues.
So American black music, such as soul and R&B, has not only created hip-hop, but reggae music and rock and roll. I feel like it's important to know the origins of music because for some reason, black artists don't get the proper credit they deserve. And that's the thing in hip-hop. A lot of people want to credit Jamaicans, Puerto Ricans, and stuff like that. You know, I had a Puerto Rican grandpa myself, so it's not like it's racist or anything. I myself am Puerto Rican, Japanese, and white mix. Hip-hop's open to everybody. I'm a great example of that. But we must give credit where credit is due to the origins of this. And the whole Jamaican thing, you know, it's all good thing. You know, people say black is black, but it's definitely an American black culture. Hip-hop, we don't say ya man. We don't speak Spanish. It's yo, what's up? And again, I'm a person who's white, Puerto Rican, and Japanese, so technically not black, unless we want to get into the black origins of Puerto Rican and Japanese, but that's a whole different story. But to me, being into hip-hop and not respecting black culture is like being into martial arts and saying that it's not an Asian culture, you know? To me, that's just how I see it. If you think about rock and roll today, black artists don't even get credit for creating the genre, and it's rare to see a black rock artist. And I feel like hip-hop's starting to be in the same boat. We live in an age today where you don't even need to listen to black artists to listen to hip-hop. And to me, there's just something wrong about that. So, I don't know. So let's end the show with the hip-hop song that embodies the whole old-school feel, especially because it was not only about the rapper, the MC, but also about the DJ. So here's something from Eric B. and Rakim.
Make them clap to this. To show our appreciation for your support.
Make them clap to this.
Thank you, DJs.
Make them clap to this. Make them clap to this. Make them clap to this. I never
don't let the mic magnetize me no more, but it's biting me, fighting me, inviting me to rhyme. I can't hold it back, I'm looking for the line. Taking off my coat, clearing my throat, the rhyme will be kicking in till I hit my last note. My mind remains to find all kind of ideas. Self-esteem makes it seem like a thought took years to build, but still say a rhyme after the next one. Prepared, never scared, I'll just bless one. And you know that I'm the soloist, so Eric B, make him clap to this. Make him clap to this. Make him clap to this. Make him clap, make him clap to this. Make him clap to this. Make him clap to this. I don't bug out of chill or be acting ill. No tricks in 86, it's time to build. Eric, be easy on the cut, no mistakes allowed. Cause to me, MC means move the crowd. I made it easy to dance to this. But can you detect what's coming next from the flex of the wrist? Say indeed, then I proceed, cause my man made a mix. If he bleed, he won't need no band-aid to fix his fingertips. So I'm rhyming too, there's no rhymes left. I hurry up because the cut'll make him bleed to death. But he's kicking it, cause it ain't no half-stepping. The party is live, the rhyme can't be kept inside. Side of me's erupting just like a volcano. It ain't the everyday style or the same old rhyme, cause I'm better than the rest of them. Every B is on the cut and my name is Rakim. Make him clap to this. Make him clap to this.
Special mix.
To this, make a clap to this, make a clap, make a clap to this, make a clap, make a clap.
Go get a girl and get soft and warm. Don't get excited, you've been invited to a quiet storm. But now it's out of hand, cause you told me you hate me. And then you asked, what have I done lately? First you said, all you want is love and affection. Let me be your angel and I'll be your protection. Take you out, buy you all kinds of things.
Make a clap to this.
Call the attitude, you need food to eat up. I'm scheming like I'm dreaming on the couch with my feet up. You scream, I'm lazy, you must be crazy. Thought I was a donut, you tried to glaze me.
To this. Make a clap to this. Make a clap to this. Make a clap, make a clap, make a clap to this. Make a clap to this. Make a clap to this. Make a clap, make a clap, make a clap, make a clap to this.
Now that made it easy to dance to this. But can you detect what's coming next from the flex of the wrist? Say indeed, then I proceed, cause my man made a mix. If he bleed, he won't be no band-aid to fix. Is on the cut, and my name is Rakim.
Best. Make a clap to this.
Drop your head, drop your head, drop your head, drop your head, what he's doing.
to this. Make a clap to this. Make a clap to this. Make a clap to this.
Hey yo, I'm Phil For Real. I'm taking you through a little history lesson on the origins of hip hop, where the influences come from, how it all started, how it got going. And yo, if you want to listen to more old school hip hop mix here on KORC 105.9, also stream live KORCFM.com. So again, I'll be on later, 10 p.m., For Real for the Radio. I'm on two times a week, Thursdays at 10, Saturdays at 11. No replays. Tune in while you can. So until then, I'm out.
You're listening to KORC News, Music and Civics. I'm Trevor Sayre with your Corvallis City meetings for the week of March 4th, 2024. On Monday, March 4th, the Corvallis City Council will be holding an executive session at 4:45 p.m. to discuss the security of public body facilities and meeting spaces, as well as a real property transaction. The meeting will be held at the downtown fire station in the Council Chambers, 400 Northwest Harrison Boulevard. Also on Monday, March 4th, but at 6 p.m., the Corvallis City Council will be holding a meeting. The meeting will be held in person at the downtown fire station in the Council Chambers, 400 Northwest Harrison Boulevard. See CorvallisOregon.gov for agenda details and information on how to attend the meeting online. On Wednesday, March 6th at 6:30 p.m., the Planning Commission will be holding a meeting that will be online only. See CorvallisOregon.gov for details on how to join. On Thursday, March 7th at 4 p.m., the Corvallis City Council will be holding a work session which will be held virtually and in person at the Madison Avenue Meeting Room, 500 Southwest Madison Avenue. See CorvallisOregon.gov for details on how to join the virtual meeting. For KORC News, Music, and Civics, I'm Trevor Sayre.
I am currently recording at the top of the Benton County Courthouse, and I am making my way up to the attic space. I am walking up a very narrow wooden staircase. You can hear a little bit of electronic interference. We are near some cell reception towers, which is causing that. We do apologize for that. We are joined by Levon Atwood. He is a facilities tech for Benton County Public Works. Thanks for your time today.
You're welcome. Thank you for having me.
We are at the top of the courthouse in a room with wooden walls, standing by a massive crank setup. Why don't you tell us what we're looking at?
Right now, what we're looking at is the clock up in the clock tower for the Benton County Courthouse. It's the original clock mechanism. You can see the clock faces on all four sides of the building, and it's not ticking, but it is actually still running.
We are walking around this device, which is a life-size device, about the size of myself or Levon here.
Yes.
E. Howard & Company, Boston, Massachusetts, is the manufacturer. And, yes, we do see a slow rotation of this chain.
Yes. This used to be a weight and pendulum system. In fact, you can see some of the weights in the corner here.
Are those made of steel?
Yes. And they decided to change it out because otherwise somebody would have to come up here regularly. I believe it was every couple days they would have to come up here, and they'd have to change the weights back and forth. And so it became like kind of a part-time job just tending the clock. And so they changed it out. And they put now everything runs off of this little, basically like a hobby motor. And it shows how well geared everything is, that all of this big life-size machinery is run off of this little motor here.
How often does one have to come in and maintain this?
I try to come up here at least once every couple weeks. I mean, I like to get up here more, but I just don't have the time. And so I get up here and oil all of the mechanisms and everything, and then of course there's changing the clock on, you know, changing for spring forward and fall back and all that type of stuff, and also just kind of keep an eye on it. And it can be a little finicky because, you know, sometimes it doesn't ring when you say, "Oh yeah, it's going to ring right now," and then it doesn't.
Separate from the clock itself was the OSU fight song played on a carillon.
Yes. The carillon, it's basically kind of like a automatic player piano. It has a scroll that has all like the little holes and everything that are punched in there for at certain increments that strike certain keys, you know, kind of like a music box. And we have a whole bunch of different songs and stuff that we were able to load up, but right now we just have the Beaver fight song for kind of local civic pride and all that type of thing.
And that plays how often?
Three times a day is my understanding. It's 8 a.m., at noon, and at 5 p.m.
And there are other choices of songs you could play, but it's kind of hard to change out the device that determines different songs.
Yeah, I haven't really messed with it before. It's one of those things where I'd have to kind of try to figure it out, and I'm a little leery to go poking at it and find out, oh, I just broke the piece or whatever. And
that's old technology.
Yeah, and plus also a lot of it really comes down to just not having the time, you know, kind of one of those things where every time I mean to do something like put some Christmas music or something like that up, but then, you know, other things keep popping up, you know, that kind of unfortunately take a little higher priority.
Have you ever had to do any major repairs to any of this equipment?
I haven't had to do anything major. I know that right before I got here, there was an issue with the cable that runs that rings the bell. It had broken, and so they replaced that. You can see that the cable looks like it's a lot newer than everything else in the building. And then I've been kind of trying to tinker with the ringing mechanism. For some reason it rings on like the 43 minute mark of the hour instead of the half hour. Something has shifted there. And then also trying to keep it so that it rings on the hour, and sometimes things kind of move and all that. And so it's like a lot of little bent nails and things like that that kind of shift.
And how long has this setup existed here in the courthouse?
Since they built it, it was built in 1888.
Levon Atwood is a facilities tech for Benton County Public Works and was kind enough to show us up here at the very top of the Benton County Courthouse as we look at the clock tower device that chimes the bell, and we also had a chance to hear the OSU fight song, which has been programmed in since 1991 to our knowledge. And up here we do have a bell that used to serve as the fire warning bell, correct? This is about the size of the Liberty Bell. If you look at it, it's a very big, heavy bell. Are we able to get a recording of maybe a chime or two on that?
Yes.
Okay. Levon is going to chime the bell that used to serve as an emergency warning of a fire. It would probably be quite an effort to move this out of here, so I figured they just let it stay put. This is no light bell. And this on the side says Naylor Vickers and Company. This is number 890. Oh, wait, what does it say?
Sheffield.
Naylor Vickers and Company, Sheffield.
1859.
you like, I could probably even, I could even force this to ring.
Yeah, that'd be
like.
Cool.
Okay.
Do you have to go upstairs?
I do.
Okay.
So.
Okay, you ready?
Ready. I understand you also change the flag.
Correct. We have to change the flag every 6 months or whenever it becomes as needed if it becomes damaged. And then also we have to raise and lower the flag for certain events, you know, if somebody passes away or anything like that. And so in order to do that, we obviously have to wear the proper PPE and everything. And we climb up to the very top. There's a ladder that takes you up there, and then you tie off, and there's a hatch that you have to climb out onto the roof. And in order to raise and lower the flag, I can sit inside and, you know, do what I need to do to raise and lower it. But then to change it, I have to climb out onto the roof and stand there in order to reach and change things out. There's a clasp that's at the base of the flagpole that you have to release in order to get the flag to pass through and everything.
And the flag itself is above the bell tower.
Correct. Yes.
So if you drive past the Benton County Courthouse, you look at the flag at the very tip top. This is the man who has to change the flag every 6 months or lower it to half mast.
Correct. Yep. It's a part of the job.
Is it fun being on the roof at that height?
The view is great, but it can be a little spooky. The main, it's kind of the mount and the dismount, climbing in and out of there can be a little, you know, I have to kind of psych myself up for it. But it's once you get up there, it's a great view. And as long as it's a nice sunny day, you can see Mount Hood and stuff like that. So it's nice.
Levon Atwood, I'd like to thank you again for your time today.
Yeah, you're welcome. Thank you for having me on.
Before we left this upper level, I was able to convince Levon to turn on the carillon, the mechanism that ordinarily plays the OSU fight song, off of a paper script, which then programs this automatic playing of the song. I asked Levon to play a few keys, just a minimal sequence.
You're listening to KORC. I'm Nick Martin. Corvallis will soon see its first psilocybin service center. Back in 2020, Oregon voters passed Measure 109, or the Psilocybin Mushroom Services Program Initiative, which created a program for administering psilocybin products, such as psilocybin-producing mushrooms and fungi, to people 21 years or older. And since then, several psilocybin treatment centers have popped up around the state, including one next door in Albany. And now, there will be one here in our town. Unstuck LLC, as the center will be known, was founded by Peter Bartosz, Heather Thomas, and Jessica Reich. Both Thomas and Reich have a background in healthcare, and this experience and their dissatisfaction with it is partly what drew them towards psychedelic treatment. According to an interview they did with the Gazette Times, clients meet with a facilitator for a pre-treatment assessment to establish therapeutic goals. On the day of the session, they meet in one of the treatment rooms where a facilitator administers the psilocybin and who will also be present for the trip. Then the client puts on an eye mask and headphones and lays back as the journey begins. After the peak of the mushroom's effects, the tripper then talks with the facilitator about their experience. According to Oregon Health Authority regulations, a person coming off of psilocybin must stay in the facility for a set period of time depending on the dosage. 3 days after leaving the center, the client then receives a post-session call to check in with how they're faring. The cost for a psilocybin session at Unstuck will be around $1,800 to $2,200, revealing a barrier to entry to many who wish to seek the service. The high costs, according to co-founder Peter Bartosz, is due to the high startup costs, which include the approximately $6,500 price tag for someone to get licensed to do the service. There is a 15% discount for first responders, healthcare workers, firefighters, veterans, and police officers. Unstuck LLC is located at 2211 Northwest Professional Drive near Winco and will open sometime in mid-March pending final AOKs from the Oregon Health Authority. Special thanks to the Gazette Times article titled Corvallis Gets Its First Psilocybin Service Center by Cosiso Ugoid. This is Nick Martin with KORC.
Hey, this is Jackie from Philomath Fire and Rescue, your neighborhood firefighter, here with some fire safety tips. Thankfully, we live in an area where house fires are few and far between. Unfortunately, they do still happen, so it's best to be well prepared. When it comes to protecting yourself against fire, putting as many barriers between you and the fire can only help. So, when you go to sleep, make sure the door to your bedroom is closed before you doze. Closing your bedroom door can provide an extra 10 to 15 minutes to escape a fire in your home. So remember, close before you doze.